So this morning, the subject matter relating to the trees is the different forests of Vrindavan known as the six seasonal forests. Now, interestingly enough, throughout all of the different writings of the different acharyas centering on the Srimad Bhagavatam and glorification of Vrindavan, these six seasonal forests come up again and again. In fact, they were the most easy subject to find information about. Basically, Srila Kabi Kanpur explains to us that although these forests exist beyond the reach of time, yet they are divided into six divisions or six sections to display all six seasons at the same time. So, of course, we're here now. This is the Hemant season, the early cold. And then after this season comes the Shishir, I think it, Shiras, something like that is in Sanskrit, it means the winter season or the dewy season. And we can see this if we stay in Vrindavan. We see the mists come down. At night it's very misty. It's difficult to go to and fro to Delhi. The aeroplanes leave late. So many different inconveniences are there because of the fog. So this is something so that we can understand something of the transcendental region where all of these different seasons serve to facilitate Krishna's pleasure pastimes all at the same time. So in Ananda Vrindavan Champu it explains that though resembling the seasons, the material counterparts, the six seasons of Vrindavan are completely transcendental since they nourish the spiritual bliss of Krishna's pastimes. So the seasons are known, this is the names that he gives to the seasons. First is the joy of the monsoon season. Then the pleasure of autumn. The satisfaction of winter. The happiness of the dewy season. The beauty of spring. And the auspicious season of summer. So these are the different seasons and their qualities. So then he explains that actually in Vrindavan there are not six seasonal forests, there are 10 forests. And within those forests you'll find one that is always manifesting a particular season. Then there are three forests that manifest two seasons at the same time. Autumn and monsoon and autumn, cold winter and the early winter, or the summer and the spring, they manifest together. And then he says there is one more forest, the tenth forest, manifests all the attributes of all the six seasons at the same time. So different acharyas have given different descriptions of the attributes of these particular seasons, and I have chosen some which resemble the seasonal experience that we have here. There are many birds that we have not heard of, many forest flowers that bloom in the different seasons that we are not so familiar with. So I have taken just a few little descriptive elements of these different seasons. So the first season that is glorified is the summer. And as we know, it is in the summer season that Radha and Krishna, they drink their water with sandal scented. They place sandalwood fragrance in the water because it is cooling. And we see even in the festivals in the temple, we observe Chandan Yatra in that particular season. And the Julan Leela takes place within the summer season. In the summer, the cuckoos sing and the parrots recite praises and the bees hum very happily here and there. And the vines dance and the gopis like to wear roses. The roses come into bloom, they wear garlands, ornaments and even garments made out of roses. The jasmine becomes fragrant and they decorate themselves with bodily ornaments also made of the jasmine. And the fruits that are available in that season are the pilu and the mango and the bale fruit and of course many others. So the vines and the trees combine together very lovingly to shade all the pathways of Vrindavan because all of the areas become very parched because of the strong heat, the sun in the summer season. So they create canopies where no sun can enter and disturb the divine couple. And it describes that the cuckoos like to keep their long beaks in the mangoes because they're fond of very sweet things, so they keep their beak in the mango, and in this way they enjoy the summer season. And Srila Prabhupada describes in the Krishna book that in the summer is just like spring in Vrindavan because of all the lakes and all the rivers, the droplets of water in the air, they make everything very cooling. So then after the summer season, the very hot summer season where everybody is waiting for some relief, comes the monsoon. That was the auspicious summer season is followed by the joy of the monsoon season. And in the rainy season described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the peacocks dance wildly. When they see the clouds, they become very happy and they dance with their tail feathers fully spread like beautiful peacock fans. And the water washes, although of course all the places of Braj are totally transcendental. There is no dust and dirt as we know it in this world, but all of the houses in Nandagram, they all become sparkling and beautifully shiny because of the washing of the rainy water. And there are many glowworms become visible in this season, which is a very mystical effect. And everything that has become dry in the summer becomes again very green. The flashes of flickering lightning in the sky are very beautiful, as well as the sorrowful wailing of the peacocks. The Arjun trees become full of beautiful bright red flowers, and tiny red insects come called the Indragopa. This is described also in the Bhagavatam, and they're all over the earth. And the description says that they crawl on the emerald-like grass, looking like tiny rubies moving across the green bodice of the breast of the earth. And the kadamba flowers, if anyone has seen a kadamba flower, Kelly kadamba flowers are very big. And the small kadamba flowers we see in Vrindavan, they come around this size. And if you look on a kadamba tree, you'll see a very hard pod, which is the seed pod, a round little formation. This is where the beautiful small kadamba flowers, they come from this. And so it's like creates like a ball of fragrant flowers. And so kadamba flowers are used in garlands and fragrant the air. The pouring of the rain is cool and refreshing, and the trees and gardens look very beautiful. And with all these colorful hues, the gardens of Vrindavan appear as beautiful as paintings. And in this season, the monsoon season, the gopis enjoy so many pastimes because the monsoon season prevents people from going here and there because there's so much rain. So they're kept indoors. So the gopis are still freely moving here and there, and Krishna is also doing the same. So they feel very happy when the rainy season comes because they can move more freely without fear of meeting others on their pathways. Sometimes Krishna has to stay indoors and wait until midday to take out the cows because of the rain. So Mother Yasoda also becomes very pleased when the rainy season arrives. So then autumn follows the rainy season. And in the autumn, all the lakes become clear and full of deep blue water and red lotuses. And everything becomes as clean and pure as the sinless heart of a devotee aspiring for prema. The swans sport in the lakes and the bees ravage the white and blue lotuses. And the beautiful autumn moon in the Sharad season, of course, heralds Krishna's pleasure to go to the Vamsivat and play his flute and call all the gopis. So in autumn season, Krishna, he performs his Vamsivat Rasleela. So then the gopis pick flowers and string them on vines. They take the string, the thread is the vines, and they string them together and make beautiful ornaments. And all the birds, the bulls, become very heated in this season and they manifest a type of madness. And in this way, they pour at the ground and create dust everywhere. The red gunja berries blossom in autumn. And the peacocks lose their feathers. And there are three features of autumn that are very, very prominent. One is that the pollen from the blossoming lotuses is flying in the air and fragranting the air. The second one is the dark atmosphere due to the humming of the buzzing bees swarming here and there. So there's the pollen, then comes the bees, and the last aspect of autumn is the wind-driven clouds that pass across the sky. So that is a brief description of the pleasure of autumn. And then comes the satisfaction of winter. So why is winter so satisfying? Because the days become very short. And if the days become very short, then the nights become very long. So this is very pleasing, because the nights are the times when Radha and Krishna perform so many sweet pastimes together. And the oranges ripen in the Hemant season, along with many different fruits and flowers. The early winter, which is November, December, around this time, the sugar cane becomes ripened, and the barley and the ripened rice look very beautiful in the fields, the green of the fields. And it is the end of the lotuses. The lotuses, now the cold weather is coming, and this burns the lotuses, so all the lotuses will now finish. The nights become longer and the days become shorter. And the gopis like this. The gopis particularly, they don't wear any pearls in this season. They don't wear pearl necklaces because pearls are cooling, so they take them off. And instead they wear all brightly colored flowers to bring warmth. And they wear saffron ointment, which heats the body. And they create clouds of incense in the kunjas, so that everything becomes warmed by the warmth of the incense. And they take heating spices. And they don't speak about any cold objects. And then winter comes. This is the happiness of the dewy season. This is the deeper winter, the colder winter, January, February. Everyone knows that this is a good time if you have an opportunity to go to a warmer place, because Vrindavan is going to become so cold. Of course, those who are addicted to Vrindavan, they accept the happiness of every season. But for those who are less rigorous, then this is the time that they think, maybe I should go to South India for a little while and heat up a little bit. So in the winter, the wheat becomes ripe and the earth therefore becomes multicolored. The sun hides in the south, and the lotus is burned to ashes. The sun becomes very mild, and the mists rise up. This makes the nights very good for extended conversations. And the rush to go to sleep recedes, because the nights now are very long and very cooling. And the biting cold underneath the trees make special canopies with very thick foliage, very much dense foliating, and so underneath this foliage the mists don't come. And so the deer and other animals, they sleep under the trees, because under the trees there is warmth from the biting cold. And the bucks sleep under the trees, and this becomes a very peaceful season, actually, because it is so quiet, because of the atmosphere being so cold. Radha and Krishna wear capes and warm clothes in this particular season when they meet. And then, the main season, one would say, because Vrindavan, sometimes it is said that Vrindavan always manifests the beauty of spring. So during the springtime, all the trees have new buds. Everything comes back to life after the cold. Everything has become contained due to the cold, and now everything comes back to vital beauty. And all the trees have new buds. The mango trees drip drops of honey, and the trees and vines of Vrindavan have a festival of fruits and flowers. Soft Malayan breezes blow with a scent of sandalwood, and the skies become clear, and fragrance is everywhere, and the gopis become very happy. And of course, in that Vasant, or in the spring season, is when the gopis have their festival of Holi. Also, they have their Rasa Leela festivals in the spring season. It is a very happy season for the residents of Vrindavan. The betel trees become ripe, and the bakul trees have very fragrant flowers. In the temple, Krishna Balaram temple, there is a bakul tree. just as you're walking out of the temple on the side nearest to the laneway that you come into the guest house, walking from out of the temple into the guest house, Krishna Balaram guest house, there's one tree with a sort of a seating place around it, and that is a Bakul tree. And in this season, the little tiny star-shaped flowers drop to the ground. And Lord Nrisimhadev particularly is very fond of Bakul flowers. And they're extremely fragrant. They're very, very sweet and fragrant, like little stars on the ground. And in Jagannath Puri, there is also a Siddha Bakul, an eternal Bakul tree, which was planted by the hand of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So even there, you can pick up these Bakul flowers and keep them to remember the beauty of this particular plant and the fragrance of these flowers. So the Bakul trees become full of fragrant flowers, and the mango trees start to flower. The mango trees have like manjaris, like we see in the Tulsi manjaris, they're pointed. The mango tree doesn't have big flowers with petals, they have manjaris that stick out everywhere. And they're waiting for the summer season when the mangoes hang down. There's like a stem that comes down, and then the mango is there. And when the trees, one time we were in Bangladesh, just after, in this particular season actually, going into the summer season, and there are many, many mango trees. Practically speaking, everyone has two or three mango trees in their backyard. And one mango tree gives hundreds and hundreds of mangoes, and they create this beautiful golden glow in the trees as all the mangoes ripen. And as we know, there is an analogy that Srila Prabhupada uses for the Guru Parampara, referring to mangoes, how one climbs to the top of the tree. If you want to get the mangoes, you don't just drop them down to the ground, because mango trees are very, very, very strong and very tall. But they do, just as you see the ladies in Vrindavan, when they're making a construction, instead of like in the West where they'll bring in cranes and greatly technologically advanced machinery, here you'll see the ladies of Vrindavan with baskets on their heads and bricks, and they take them up to a certain point and someone takes them from them and hands them up to the next, and then they'll hand it up further to the second floor and so on. It's a very untechnological presentation. So similarly, when they're taking the mangoes from the top of the tree, they hand them down and hand them down. So different people are sitting at different branches, and all they do is they keep going like this. And they hand down the mangoes, and in this way the mango comes from the top of the tree, where you would never be able to reach it, never be able to enjoy its flavor, and it comes right down to the ground. And then it can be appreciated by taste as well as by looking. So this is a comparison given also to the Guru Parampara, how knowledge is passed down in a very structured way, rather than thrown from the highest level to the ground or to the ordinary person, and they ascend similarly. So in spring there is also the Vasant Panchami, which is the where everybody celebrates and wears yellow in Vrindavan. They all dress in yellow. Of course, nowadays these things are not visibly seen so much, because there's so many people coming to Vrindavan who do not have the spirit that was there in the days of yore. But previously everyone would dress in yellow on the first day of spring and bring different offerings, different agricultural offerings, as well as the fact that Radha and Krishna in their Nitya Lila have a beautiful rasa dance on that particular occasion by the side of Govardhan Hill. So the Ritu Devis, or the goddesses of these six seasons, they're personified. And they come to Vrinda Devi and ask Vrinda Devi, how can we serve? We wish to serve Radha and Krishna. How can we serve? And Vrinda Devi tells them, you should go immediately to Radhakund. And she says to them that on the northern shore of Radhakund, the winter season should manifest. And on the eastern side, the rainy season. On the southern side, the autumn. And on the western side, the Hemant season. And the spring season should manifest always in all the trees. And the summer season, where do you think the summer season should manifest? In the water. Yes. Summer should serve by remaining in the water. So then, there's a very nice quote that I wanted to share with you. Having given you some insight into the particularities of these different six seasons, this was something that struck me as quite profoundly. This is coming from Srila Jiva Goswami when he's speaking about the six seasons of Vrindavan. He says, though each of the seasons is the best. So listen to this, because it's a very interesting conception. Though each of the seasons is the best and different from the others, each one's the best and different from the others. But in Vrindavan, there is no loss in manifesting their glories simultaneously. So this struck me because it reminded me of what Srila Prabhupada was speaking of in the Association of Devotees, the idea of unity in diversity, harmony in diverse best personalities, each one manifesting simultaneously in the same place their best qualities, each different, each best, and all at the same time. Contrary elements live together in harmony. And Sujiva Goswami says for us, can all living entities not learn this lesson from the seasons of Vrindavan? So this is a very interesting way to hear about these seasons, because each one has something to offer to Krishna, and Krishna relishes that. And he doesn't say, oh, this season is better, I actually don't like this season. Each season comes and has its own virtues, and Krishna appreciates them all as best, simultaneously. And they all offer simultaneously their beauty. In a place on the river cooled by the breeze, the Haritaka birds call out, the birds of the winter season. And in a place bright as if shining with jewels, crickets chirp. They are a summer insect. Chataka birds warble near waterfalls, cascading from mountains. They are monsoon birds. And while the clouds do, when the clouds disperse, the swans float in the spotless autumn waters. And the cuckoos call out in the flower-filled groves of spring. Vrindavan, giving birth to all seasons at once, is a place to be discussed by logicians. So this is a very nice point from the six seasons. Now I'd like to finish by sharing with you a couple of nice verses from Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. He says, I would try to please Radha and Krishna even by becoming a tree in Vrindavan, decorated with unlimited juicy transcendental fruits, fragrant flowers, transcendental honey, transcendental birds, transcendental twigs, and transcendental leaves. He's saying, I will become a tree. I meditate on Vrindavan, which is enchanting due to being filled with transcendental flowers, fruits, and other items, and where the fair and dark complexioned divine young couple happily pick flowers, leaves, and twigs from the branches of the Parijat, Jati, and other fragrant flowering trees. As soon as Sri Radha says, O beautiful ones, please dance, the creepers of Vrindavan dance. When Sri Radha says, please sing, they sing melodiously. When Sri Radha says, please cry, they shed tears of honey. When Sri Radha says, please laugh, they become jubilant. When Sri Radha says, please embrace, they respond by happily embracing the trees. When Radha says, offer obeisances to our beloved Lord, they all fall down on the ground. I would also like to become a creeper in Vrindavan and follow the orders of Sri Radha in the same way. I would be nourished by water personally supplied by her, and Sri Hari will bless me by happily allowing me to become one of his beloveds. So this is the ecstatic emotional feelings of Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, who is immersed in meditation on all aspects of Vrindavan, the trees, the land of Vrindavan, the pastimes of Vrindavan. the activities of Radha and Krishna, and he is very, very deeply fixed that to be in Vrindavan, even as a piece of a particle of dust, is the most perfect thing that one can aspire for in this short materialistic life. So thank you very much.